Yeah, and the less you focus on this monster, the less this monster will
Exactly.
continue growing in the person.
Exactly. And that's the thing too. If you're now really focused on play, the best way to deal with something is to replace it with something else. So, all right. So now, since it's a magical creature that's involved, hey, I can replace that monster with a unicorn. It's the same thing. So you can now say, okay, well, hey, I'm going to focus on your unicorn side. And when I do that, I'm going to have the magic of the unicorn come out, and then the monster shrinks in the same token. So, yeah, that's a very powerful point, and I feel that's a point that you focus on with your clients, if I understand correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, that you don't focus on the monster part of them to get rid of the monster or deal with the monster. No, you just focus on the unicorn or the magic or the wonder or the thing that they wish to be, and you grow that, and it automatically replaces the monster and shoves it aside. There's no place for a monster when you've grown your sovereign being into something special, and that's what you help people do, right?
Yeah, I will add like there are two components for this another person being having his monster side. Well, first of all, I will try them to understand what inside of not the your partner but yourself is get triggered by this monster, because
Right.
it's sitting in you. You haven't healed. That's why it triggers you so much of this person being a monster. Maybe I don't know you. He's a monster. He can't. He's trying maybe to control you, and you're so much
Right.
obsessed with freedom, and you just filter everything he's doing through
Yes.
this controlling things. And when you like heal this part of you, and you just committed to different things, and you don't focus on this part of your person being a monster, then he will change his side of being a monster.
Right,
I
right.
mean.
You can't control somebody who has independence of being.
Yeah.
You can try and you can do all sorts, but you're just going to waste your time. So if that's the thing, like saying using controlling as an example, that's their monster. Yes, they want to be controlling. But if you react to that, now you end up in a fight with the monster. But if you have independence of being and you just tell yourself, well, dude, you want to try and control me? Well, okay, go ahead. You're not going to succeed. It's a waste of time. They're very soon going to realize it's just bouncing off the walls. You can't control, something that's uncontrollable. So it's like, okay, they will then shift and change and move on. And either that, or you're going to find out, well, if this is the whole person's point of being of living is they want to find somebody that they control, and that's what the relationship they're looking for. Well, that's not a relationship for me. Okay, and then I'll move on to a different relationship. So either way, you either make peace and it changes and the relationship upgrades, or you upgrade the relationship itself, right?
Exactly. There is this famous quote, which is something like, when you heal this part of you which needs this like partner and his
Right.
monster side, you will stop attracting these people into your life.
Exactly.
So I think it, like
Exactly.
there is, if you have this kind of issues with your partner, it will be like one of two ways. Either he will change his monster side because he will heal this part of you, or he will just go away from your life, because
Exactly.
I believe
Exactly.
it's the ritual law of what is happening.
Yes. There's a magic to this that, and I mean magic in not in the way that people think of magic, but it is magic because it's just wonderful. And magic to me is just something which we don't easily explain. And there are lots of magical things in life. Most of science is magic to me. So somebody can explain it, but it's magical to me. But the magic is exactly what you said. We attract what we really, really need. And the moment we learn the lessons, it's no longer needed for that to be. I'll tell you something really amazing, little story on this, which really illustrates this very well. This friend of mine and ours, we ended up in the desert. It's a long story, but really in the middle of nowhere with absolutely nothing. We had a little well that was like a foot deep, literally. And you scooped out two, three buckets, and the well was dry. And it took a couple of hours to fill up, or at least half the day to fill up again. No electricity, no toilet, no running water, nothing. So we're out in the desert, and then we were there for a while, and we had a great time being there because we came in with positivity, like we were saying, adventure. So after being there for a while, one day we sat down and we said, what have we been forced to learn? Not just what do we learn, what have we been forced to learn? Well, one thing we had to learn, for instance, was trust. We're out in the middle of nowhere and you have to trust. You have to trust that things are going to be okay. There's nobody you can call. There's no phone. There's no neighbors, no nothing, right? So you have to completely trust. We were forced to deal with silence because it's out in the desert and it's very, very silent. I mean, like really crazy silent. You come from the city, it's like, wow, it's quite overwhelming at first, that silence. So we're forced to. So we started to write those down, right? I remember we made a list of like 32 of these points or 31 of them of what we were first to learn. The moment we finished that list, like the very next day or the day after that, suddenly this guy in the Jeep comes driving in there and he's from the mountain next door to us and they invite us up. It's just like this miracle thing happened, right? But this is the example. It's like so crazy. It just makes no sense whatsoever. We learned what we needed to learn and we were consciously aware of what we learned to do, what we needed to learn. The moment we did that, the whole world changed. Literally, everything changed. We went from a desert world to living in a mountain world. It was incredible. So the same thing in our relationships, to actually make that effort when you get to that point where you feel you've learned, not just to have it inside you and it's like, oh, I've learned this, I've learned. No, actually write it down. What have I learned? What have I been forced to learn? And write down all those points that you've been forced to learn. The moment you do that, life changes. It's phenomenal. It's profound. It's really huge. It's a really, really big deal. Yeah. And that's what I hear you saying, right?
Yeah, it's excellent example that you mentioned about this, the desert experience with your friend, because yeah, it's really what is happening, right? For you, it was like this sharp experience, but it's how life is happening as soon as you learn the lesson. But some people keep on repeating the same lesson. It's their choice as well. But as soon as you learn it, you will stop attracting these experiences over and over again.
Yes. It's like the world is a description and we describe it. But we describe it according to what our deep, deep inner self needs, not what we want. Wants are irrelevant. Your deep self, they have a kind of a positive ruthlessness to them. They don't care whether you're going to be happy or not. They care that you learn. It's like the same thing for your children. What do you want for your children if you were forced to choose? Do you want what's good for them or what's nice for them? What would you want for your children?
Good.
Exactly good. Right. Of course, you would prefer good and nice. But if you have to choose between the two, you choose good. Now, a lot of people don't understand that there's a difference between good and nice. Right. So when you realize, when you kind of think of it, good and nice, do they always go together? No, not necessarily. Some things can be good, but not nice. All right. So when it comes to ourselves, and if you're going to be forced to choose for yourself, like in the universe comes and says, Anna, what are you going to choose for yourself? What's good or nice? Well, I have to choose what's good, right? Because nice could really screw me up for life, right? So I have to. So the universe says, fine, okay, I agree. All right. Oh, we'll try and make it good and nice, but if you're not going to learn, it's not going to be nice. It's just going to be good. So everything that you attract to yourself, you attract what you need, what's good for you, and you focus on that. And we have this fantastic ability to filter life, and that's how we attract things. Now, there's a bit of magic too, like that guy who came driving in the Jeep. You know, we couldn't really filter him out because there's nothing to filter. But when it comes to relationships, we've got lots of people to choose. Our subconscious filters what the ones that are nice maybe, but not good. And we always choose good before nice, always. So that's the key to remember. And so it's not like there's necessarily some magic. We are part of that magic. It's us. We make that selection and that filtering. Yeah, sometimes there's magic like that story in the desert. And that's why I mention it, because it really is a magical story. But it gives us hope too, in a sense, to realize that things can come from outside of us. It's not just us always as well, right? But if we do our part, then we enable the magic. It's like we open up the world and we say, okay, I'm free now. I'm ready for the next thing, right? And that's really what adventure is. I've learned. I've dealt with it. I've extracted everything that I possibly can from this. And it's like when you look at any adventure thing, when they've resolved the particular problem, the challenge, well, something new has to happen, because otherwise the movie ends and it's boring, right?
Yes.
So life is the same way. It works the same way. It's quite magical. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
It's really fun too.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
Yeah, you really make me think now of things, you know, so that's really profound.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, though, in terms of your relationships also, in when you're dealing with people and helping them with their relationships, I would assume part of it is also making sure that they understand that they're not committed to a relationship in the sense that you have to make it work no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like people sometimes are talking in this terms of commitment. It's like when you invest in relationship, then you have these obligations to be with this person, right? And sometimes you even hear people saying something like, oh, I waste 5 years of being with this person. And I try always to help people just to change their perspectives, because like every relationship, even like the worst relationship in your life when your heart was broken or whatever has happened, was for your good, you know, like it gave you what you needed to receive at that particular moment, right?
Exactly.
And you're not committed to be in any relationship. It's what you mentioned, like there is no obligations, you know, it's and take as a first principle, like our growth, you know, like it's you just if you outgrow this relationship, then it's nice to move away from this relationship.
Yes, yes.
I think like the indication that it's a conscious relationship and you understand this principle, you just separate in a very friendly and conscious way, you know. This is the thing. Thank you. I learned from you. You learned from me. Thank you. But you're not committed to stay in this relationship.
Yes. And you know, what you're saying is really profound, and it's a big deal to understand that. Also, to add just one little point to that. If you in a relationship and you stick in that relationship and you know that, well, it's not really right and you shouldn't be in it, aren't you doing the other person a disservice?
Of course, yes.
Exactly. It's a massive disservice to them. That's not kind. That's not nice. That's not helpful. That's not good in any way for them. You forcing them to be in a relationship which is not appropriate for them, which is not right for them either. Not just for you. So not only are you being not nice to yourself, you're also being not nice to the other person. I have a little story for you. So when I was in high school in my senior year, I connected with this girl. And we had a relationship, but it was a good relationship, but it came about through unusual circumstances. And so it was a very physical relationship and it was wonderful. So anyway, we go through our exams and we finished and everything. And so, okay, relationship is sort of, you know, we're having fun. It's all good. And there's nothing really negative or wrong about the relationship and it's all fine. So anyway, we go down to the beach the one day and she says to me, you know, I forget exactly her words, but she said something like, I don't think we should be in our relationship anymore because you're too much for me. That's what she said to me. I forget what she said before, but that's the words I remember. She said, because you're too much for me. She said it very soberly, very nicely, very gently. There was no negativity in it. It was just an expression of absolute pure honesty and an acknowledgement of the situation. And I'm like, wow, that was like the most profound thing I ever heard, you know, and it was really huge. It stayed with me all my life. So we didn't break up. That's the important point. We transitioned. And from then, that word always stayed with me. Our relationship just transitioned into being friends. We were, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, and we were having this wonderful physical, but it wasn't a relationship that was going anywhere. And she knew it because she said, you're too much for me. She was very honest about it, and it was very cool. And it was like, wow, okay, what you're saying is true. I know it's true as well. I know there's no real relationship in the future for this because I'm coming at life from a different angle. It's not her angle. She's not into, because I was into learning and growing and in thinking things through and all the stuff. So it's not her thing. And she was quite fine with that. And she recognized that she has an honesty to it. And that was a really profound gift that she said. And that enabled our relationship to make this beautiful transition because it was about being appropriate, right? So it was all about appropriateness. She's saying, look, I like you. You're cool. We have, you know, physical side is fantastic. Yes, having all this is good. However, it's not long term. It's not going to happen because, you know, it's not really there. And we just transitioned. And it was beautiful and magical and awesome and wonderful. And I thank that girl every day when I think of relationships for that because it's a huge deal. So when you come at your relationship from that angle and you realize that, hey, it's not this big threat of breaking up and sadness and sorrow, that's not how relationships need to, they don't even need to end. My relationship with her never ended. I haven't spoken to her for decades, but as far as I'm concerned, we're still friends, right? And maybe she feels the same way. It doesn't matter. In my heart, I know we're still friends because we transitioned. Even though I never spoke to her again, doesn't matter. We transitioned. Everything was good. Life was good. Life was wonderful. So we can do that with our relationships. When we understand that relationships are there and they are there for as long as they're going to be, and if they aren't going to stay, they will transition. And we can either be at peace with that transition and embrace it and see it as a good thing, or we can fight it and struggle and be miserable and unhappy. But when you realize that transition is an option, changes everything, right?
Yeah, it's all about this choice. Yes.
Right. But a lot of people don't realize that transition is an option. They think that you're either in a relationship or you break up. Those are your two options. No, yeah. There's a third option, and it's a much more powerful option. Now, not only can your relationship transition from being like in that, in the case of this girl, her name was Avril, by the way. So mm-hmm. I'll give a shout out to Avril. If you ever hear this, Avril, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. It makes me emotional. I actually do think of it. Anyway, if you realize that your relationship is not just about being in it or breaking up, but also that it can transition. Now, the transition can be like in the case of Avril, we were in a relationship, we transitioned to not being in a relationship and to being kind of friends, but not friends that really had much in common, and it didn't have a purpose, so we didn't really see each other much after that. And okay, that's all good. It's a natural transition. However, that transition can also happen within the relationship. This friend of mine that I mentioned, my lifelong friend, our relationship has transitioned many, many, many times, right? And it continues to constantly transition. And this is the power and strength of our relationship, is that it's continually transitioning. And I love that. That is awesome. So we go through different types of relationship. We're always in a relationship. We've always been in a relationship of some kind, but it has transitioned phenomenally and powerfully and incredibly as we continue to collaborate and be together. But the fact that transition is a part of our relationship, that is incredibly empowering and huge. It's really huge.
Yeah.
Because we have those no expectations and no obligations.
Yeah. You're growing and your relationship exactly. are transition in line with your
exactly.
growth.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So in terms of taking that to, again, you started this interview and this podcast by saying that it's not just relationships between people, but it's relationships of many different kinds, relationships with everything. One of the relationships is the relationship with ourselves and with life, right? And with the universe and with magic and spirit and whatever you want to have a relationship with, right? Your work, your job, your boss, everything. All of those relationships, particularly the relationship with yourself, are constantly in transition.
Yes.
Right? And that's important. We have to realize transition is a magical, important, powerful, necessary part of relationships. If you do not see transition as a part and parcel of relationships, that's when you're going to get to a dead end. That's when it's going to stagnate. That's when they start to break down, right? So relationships are always going to transition. And that's where the joy and the appreciation and the goodness lies, when you do get to transition. Now it's a new world. Then you explore that world and you enjoy all the wonderfulness of it. And then when that's done, and then you transition to the next stage again. And it's always ongoing. And you have never-ending magic with your relationships, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, but I think sometimes people are just resistant to this transition because they have this fears of maybe losing something they had before.
Yeah,
so that's why they're just resistant. They have like, what will happen if my relationship will transition to another level?
Right. But that's a deeper life fear, and that's fear of the unknown and fear of change, which is really a fear of life, which is really a fear of growing. Right. And learning.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If we do not connect to the unknown, how do you learn?
You can't.
exactly. Learning by definition is connecting to the unknown. So if you want safety and security and things to always stay the same, you're also saying, I'm never going to learn. That's it. Like I said, the moment you stop learning is the moment you start dying. Fine, if that's what you want. Okay, it's fine. However, life doesn't quite work that way. It's very difficult to keep things exactly the same. No matter how hard you try, there's always change of some kind. So we have to embrace that, and change is transition. You can have stressful change, which is when you don't transition. Or, you know, when you fight it and then you have a breakdown, you have a crash and you have to start again. That's not a transition. That's a mess, right? Whereas transition is you smoothly going from one circumstance into another because you're making that embrace. You're going with the process, not against it, right? So we have to live with life in attunement.
Yeah, follow the flow.
Exactly, attunement. Yeah. That's right, exactly. It's just so powerful. I do have a question for you, and I don't want to forget it because I forgot it earlier, but then I remembered again, and I'm very happy I did. It's a very powerful, important question. And it's a speculation that I'm going to, I believe is true for you. I'm pretty sure it is, and I want to check. So, do you find that when you interact with your clients, that you have tremendous fun doing so, and your clients have fun in your interactions, and they like, you and them are both surprised at how much fun the interaction is. They might not come in expecting, you know, in the life coaching, they expect it to be serious and kind of strict or whatever. They have all these extra. One thing they typically do not expect is how much fun it's going to be, right? Yeah. But I suspect that you and your clients have tremendous fun in your interactions, yes?
Yeah. I love this fun and playfulness in any interaction. And I think seriousness is what's killing a good joy in our lives. Yes, right, absolutely. Right. And what I add as well, it's like sharing and being vulnerable. You know, like before I started doing this work, I was very hesitant of being vulnerable and sharing like my online what is going on. And it took me some time just to start self-expressing myself. And I'm still on a journey. But I think like being vulnerable is what you connect to other people. You know, it's like they feel like safe next to you, they can share more of what is going on inside of them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's very important. But you know, it's just that I wanted to make the point that there's an expectation of that these type of interactions and life coaching or workshops, it's all serious and all sober. I'm very, very serious. I'm an intensely serious person. But that's what I've found, that it's not serious or fun. They go together. We can have fun being serious because really my seriousness is more of a sobriety. And I mean not sobriety in the alcohol sense, in the bigger sense of sobriety, the original meaning of the word, capital S sobriety, which is like sensible seriousness and a broader, really wide, sober sensibility that you're looking at word, you're very soberly appraising word. But sobriety is very positive. And when you connect to what's meaningful to you, what matters to you, what's significant to you, when you really connect to that, and this is what the interactions are primarily about, typically when we're life coaching, right? We're connecting people to what matters to them, what's important to them, what's significant to them. When they do connect to that, that's when the fun kicks in. That's when it starts to become fun, because that is what gives us joy in life. And what's meaningful is very serious, but it's also fun. And that's a profound connection. That's what I wanted to make a point of connecting to, because I feel that you have this with your clients. And I want to just to bring it into awareness that, hey, this is about having fun connecting to what's important to you, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. When you do connect to what's really, really you, what matters to you, that is the best fun we can have. You know, every time we do a workshop, for instance, it's like, man, like people are like, wow, we had so much fun. But also they say, I'm like full. We have to stop because they got too much. And it's exactly, I'm just thinking yesterday, a couple was here and we had a workshop. And that was exactly what happened. We stopped because they said, I'm too full. I can't actually observe. I have to go and process this. You know, there's so much coming in, but it was incredible fun. I mean, and you could see and feel, and we too, we just have so much fun. But it's important aspect to mention, because I don't think that people realize how much fun these interactions can be, and they have an expectation which isn't realistic, at least for us. There are with some people, I think, that don't make it fun, but well, that's a different story. Yeah. I don't want to say things about other people, but for us, it's incredible fun, our interaction, our life coaching, our workshops, etc., right?
Yeah, because I mean, serious is good sometimes to be serious, but people are taking life way too serious.
Right. Well, it's again, it's how you are being serious. Like our kind of serious, we are serious what we're doing. I mean, in a sense, but not that negative serious. We're doing fun serious. Yeah, because I mean, the interaction, it's a very serious thing that you're dealing with. We're dealing with what's important to you. We're dealing with getting something resolved for you, but we're doing so in a way that is serious and fun. It's not either or, right? The two go together, right? Because our seriousness is a sensibility. we're being extremely sensible. It's not like we're just asking about and, you know, we're just fooling around. No, it's not that kind of fun. It's the fun of truly appreciating yourself, truly connecting to what matters to you, truly finding a life path, truly seeing, hey, here's a different journey. I can go in this way. I can transition to this. I can change to this. I have this freedom. I'm empowered. That's all fun. To feel empowered is fun, right?
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
powerful. Fun very, very play. Powerful.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, you know, you can play and be very serious about your play and you love every minute of it. That's, you know, for like, and I used to do a lot of gaming, you know, like online gaming in MMOs and that. Man, those gamers are like super serious about the gaming, but they're loving every minute of it. I mean, they're really serious about it. I mean, you know, to learn some of those games, it's like you spend years learning the games, like going to university. It's the same, if not more intense. So they're very serious, man, and they do a lot of learning, but they love every minute of it. It's really incredible. It's very powerful. So that fun aspect is a big deal. It's really cool to know and, yeah. and how people relate. And the expectations that they have, you know, that it's not always just, I think, especially in life coaching, some people have a bit of a misconception. They think that they're going to be taught what to do. You know, like in school, you're taught, do this, do that. This is No. That's not what it's all about. Not at all. No, coaching is a whole different logic. Coaching is, it's motivating you. It's encouraging you. It's providing you with options, strategies, perspectives, right? This is what it's all about. You, the one who then takes that and applies it and does. You're not just following orders. If you're going to be following orders, you're not going to learn anything. You're just going to become a robot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And what I like applying as well, working with my clients, is like, first of all, just asking the right questions. And the very person can come to his own realization. And this is very effective for a person.
Yes.
And then I would just share what I have learned, what I went through, and just offer to for him to apply it to his life, you know. But again, it's like, just use what works for you, because your truth and my truth are different.
And that's a very powerful skill. And not many people realize this. Like, for instance, in our workshops, and this is exactly what you just said, so I'm just feeding it back to you. You do the same thing. When you present somebody with a list of choices and options, or you ask them questions, inevitably, like, let's say you put in there, like, which of these apply to you, and you give them 10 choices, right? And it's all things that are pertinent to them. And they say, yes, this does, yes, this doesn't, yes, this does, yes, this does. Okay, let's say they all 10 apply to them. If you had asked them, give me a list of 10 things which are important to you. Oh, crap. And they're going to struggle to write that 10 down. But when you present them with that list and you say, are these things important to you? And they can say, yes, 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 yes. Anybody can do that. It's very easy. But that's your skill. Your skill is asking the right questions, the questions that are difficult to answer without the question, to just come up with it on your own. But when you get asked the question, you can recognize it immediately. That's your skill. That's what you bring to the equation. It is asking those right questions, presenting those right options, that they can recognize what's important to them, what matters to them, what's relevant to them. That is, a lot of people don't realize that this is an incredibly powerful skill. And this is something that's inordinately valuable, because to find those things by ourselves, it's difficult. Even though when you see the question or you see the choices, it's like obvious. That's the skill. It's to bring it out and to make the obvious obvious. The obvious is not obvious until it's obvious.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's a huge deal. It's not obvious until it's obvious. It wasn't obvious before it became obvious. What you provide to your clients is you present that obviousness to them and they can say, oh, yeah, that's obvious. They don't realize that what you've done is
But before that,
huge.
It was not. Yeah.
Exactly. But the moment it becomes obvious, you forget that 2 seconds ago, literally 2 seconds ago, it was not obvious. And I want to make this point, though, because it's a huge point.
I think I lost you a little bit.
Yeah, your video is frozen. You got a frozen smile on your face. There you go. You're back again.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. The video just lagged a little bit. That's all good. Yeah, no problem. But yeah, that skill of presenting the obvious, that's a huge deal. And I mention it because it's good to be aware of, and not just from the client's point of view, but also from our point of view as coaches, to help the client to understand that this is what we're doing. That if they are connecting to much things that are obvious, that's really what we want to do. They might say, well, you know, what did I learn really? Well, you just showed me what's obvious. Yes, I did exactly. That's what I'm trying to do. Because if I'd asked you all those things before we started, make a list of obvious things to you in your life, you would not have easily done that, because that's just not how our brains work, right?
Yeah.
So that's a very, very, very big skill and benefit and advantage and goodness that we bring. And that's why people come to a life coach, because the life coach helps them to connect to what's obvious.
Yeah,
we don't want to connect to what's complicated and tricky and not obvious. We want to connect to what's obvious in ourselves. If I can connect to what's obvious in me, about me, and be aware of what my obvious truths are and what my obvious importances are, what's obviously meaningful, important to me, okay, well, life is easy then, right?
Yes, yeah. And this is our job, I believe, you know, like
exactly.
To help them to come to this obvious. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, through that, you get motivated too. So, yeah, you know, much of our job is also to help people to see people the way they don't see themselves.
Oh, yes.
You see, because you don't see anybody as a bad person.
Yeah.
No matter how bad they are, we can see, hey, we can see the goodness. We can see how they could be good. We can see where the balance is. We can see how they just need to shift their perspective to find that balance, to appreciate themselves, right?
Absolutely.
I appreciate the person, but they don't necessarily appreciate themselves because they don't have that internal perception. That's where the problem arises. So we help them gain perspective on themselves and to appreciate themselves, because we have that ability to see the balance that they could be, that they actually are, not so much could be. So it's not like they really have to learn things. They just have to really make peace with themselves, right? That's what you do.
Yeah. To see them, like to help them to see their own potential. And
exactly.
Like when we are talking about all these barriers or blocks, or like I see them as patterns, sometimes people keep using the same patterns over and over again.
Right.
And it's very, can be challenging to see it in yourself, even if you have read some books, you know, like self-discovery, personal development. Sometimes it's very challenging to see it in yourself because you don't see yourself from outside.
Yep.
And this is what I believe like is our work as well, just to help people to realize it and to notice these patterns.
Right. And to help them see themselves the way we see them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think anybody that I see, I never see them as broken or messed up. Yes, I see them caught up in nonsense. Yes. But the person, the actual person underneath, I just see goodness there. Always. I just see goodness. Always. Everybody's trying to be good. What I do see a lot of is people that are applying, they inappropriately being good. There's an inappropriate application of goodness. And that's kind of sad. I see a lot of people doing good things inappropriately, and it gets them into all sorts of trouble. They're trying to be good, but they do it inappropriately, and then they get into a mess. So we help them connect to that goodness. So we're not saying, hey, you're bad and we're going to make you good. Hell no, you're good. We're going to help you actually enjoy your goodness, appreciate your goodness, and not put obstacles and blockages in the way of your goodness, right? So we help them to see them the way we see them. Right, which is you're a good person. It's like, duh, pretty.
Yeah.
It's not hard to be good, really.
You see them, really see their magnificent true self.
Exactly. As their sovereign being, I like that. I'm going to use your term too. You know, I like independence of being, but I like as a sovereign being too, because you know we are sovereign beings. And you know, from the word, if you really go into the depths of the word, it has a lot of history in being a sovereign being. You know, literally, like if you're a sovereign country, it means you own yourself. You're not in charge. There's nobody that owns you. You're independent. So a sovereign being means you have independence of being, but it also implies you have a kind of a nobility to you, right?
Yeah.
So sovereign gives you that extra and say, yes, every single person is a sovereign being. It's like if we were countries, every single human being would be their own little country, right?
Yeah.
That's really powerful. That's very cool. It's a very cool concept. So I'll definitely use that. But yeah, getting people to see themselves the way they actually are, without all the supposed to be and should and convention and all that. That's a huge deal.
Yes.
Do you find that so often where you're going in the interaction is you getting people to a point of opposite?
Opposite of who they think they are?
Exactly. Like you just kind of flip it around and it's like, whatever you're thinking, like whatever you should think you do, just take the opposite of that, and suddenly it's all good, and all the things go away. Everything gets resolved. Like you, we call it the philosophy of opposite, Olivia and I, in terms of what we do. So it's like a little philosophy we have. It's called the philosophy of opposite. So you take whatever you got a problem, and you just go to like the planet opposite, and you look at your problem from the planet opposite, right? Now, it doesn't mean the solution is the exact opposite, but from the planet of opposite, you kind of move around and you get all these different angles and perspectives on you, right? Yep. Because you're looking at, and now you get to see, this is where it gives you perspective. So we use opposite to leverage ourselves to gain perspective. But so often it's just a simple thing that you take whatever your deal is, or whatever you think you should do, and you kind of flip it on its head, and you start from that point of opposite and say, hey, is this opposite good? So often the exact opposite is actually good. But generally, somewhere in that region of opposite, on the planet of opposite, you find a solution and a resolution. And that's huge, and that's a service that we provide for our clients, right? Is we connect them to other, which sometimes is in that, on the planet of opposite. It's just amazing to me how often that's the case, no?
Yeah, other perceptions, because it's all about like the lenses through which you see the world. Exactly. And as well, like other models of living as well, you know, like there are so many different models of how we can live this way, this life. So when you can just show them different
models. It's so huge. It's so huge. It's so cool, you know.
Yeah.
And then, Anna, for you personally, I wanted to ask, because we said, yes, what's important to you? You said, yes, relationships are important. And your work that you do, connecting to people, sharing with people, putting them, you know, all the things that you do in terms of life coaching and upgrading people. But what about you personally? How do you see that in terms of your own path? What is it that is meaningful, important to you personally that you look to grow on and want to deal with and work with and progress on?
Self-expression is a big thing for me, and then connection as well, connection with other people.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sometimes I know in my profile, and I did this. I don't know if you know what is Gene Keys. It's
Gene Keys. Yeah,
they show your map of consciousness. It's one thing I'm struggling with. It's like my life purpose is vanity. It's my shadow, you know. I feel like I'm working a lot on that, and I think like connection is a big thing for me, because I tend sometimes to, maybe like when I'm on my shadow, when I am not aware, to disconnect myself from others, you know, like because I think I'm in a different way than other people. And then became being aware of that, I'm like, oh, this is what is happening. Because,
That's interesting. So would you say vanity is inherently, by its very nature, disconnecting? Mm-hmm.
I think so, because it puts you in a kind of like opposite side from other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Vanity puts you in that bubble of yourself, which is automatically disconnecting. So the moment you're vain, you disconnect.
Yes. Yeah.
Vanity and disconnection go together. They're automatic. So, yeah. So if you are interested in connection, you have to let go of vanity.
Yeah. Yes.
They can't go together. That's a really profound point.
Yeah. So this
you have
is
to kind of absorb that a little bit. That's a big deal. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize that, because we live in a culture in which vanity is, it's almost become a positive. You know, you've got to be vain. You've got to like, put your best side on. You've got to look good. And, you know, you've got to have the status and all the stuff, right? So vanity is a very big deal. And you get rewarded for being vain in a sense, right? Okay, you get on TV and you know, people like you. You look good and all that. But it also, at the same time, leads to disconnection. And you see this with a lot of people that get supposedly famous, right? They're becoming disconnected from the world, and they live lonely, unhappy lives. All that vanity and whatever, what did it get them?
Yeah, it's prevent them from connecting at a deeper
level. Right. So what was the rewards of vanity? I'm asking you really seriously. What are the rewards of vanity?
Well, the rewards of vanity, I think it's kind of like it's helping you to be on this path of self-mastery, you know, like.
But is that vanity or is that self-mastery? What's the difference?
Difference.
There's a big difference to me between vanity and self-mastery, you know? But I understand what you're saying, that vanity can put you on the path to self-mastery. It's like a stepping stone. But at some point, you have to realize vanity is hollow because vanity is just surface, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Where self-mastery is deep. And vanity is also connected to the perceptions of others, the approval of others.
The approval of others, it's your opinion, judgments about others as well. But like you are in a, you take this gift side of vanity. It's a kind of like you start realizing what is good and not good for you.
So it this leads to discernment and awareness.
Discernment, yes, this is a good part of vanity.
Of vanity, right. But the downsides are that if you have vanity and you connect it to the opinions and approval of others, if you get stuck in vanity, you can never, ever develop independence of being.
Yeah.
As a sovereign being, you cannot have vanity. Sovereignty and vanity cannot coexist. It's impossible, right? Because as long as you're dependent on the opinions of others, you cannot be independent, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't be. Yeah. And here's the other thing. Vanity impacts and reduces your freedom.
Yeah. Yes.
Because why? Why? So this is a very powerful point to me. When I'm vain and I'm connected to the opinions and approval of others, that means I can be manipulated because those opinions and that approval is important to me, right?
Absolutely.
And that's how you can get manipulated through what's important to you. Now, if I don't care about your opinions and your approval, you can't use it to manipulate me, right? Yeah. But as long as I remain vain, I'm easy to manipulate and I'm not free.
Yeah.
So how can you be a free sovereign being if you can be manipulated? You can't.
They can't coexist. But like how I treat all these shadows, you know, like we all have shadows and I feel like you can't get rid of them. And
yes,
of course,
yes.
Trapped. It's always will be inside of you. The only thing you can do is just to become aware and to grade this part to you. And as soon as you catch yourself, it stop having you, you know, but it stop having you and you choose to respond to different with your gift. Yeah.
And we can even use our shadows as a positive in this, that our shadow can leverage ourselves and motivate ourselves to grow and learn and to go beyond the shadow. So if I'm aware that vanity is a part of me, I can say, cool, hey, I'm going to use this vanity in the sense that I don't want to be vain, so I'm going to use it to be not vain and to develop independence of being. And that kind of, I don't want to say fear of vanity, but the dislike of vanity, I use it as a pressure to motivate me to make the effort to be independent. So my vanity helps me to get to independence of being and to be a sovereign being, right?
Yes.
So I use the shadow to get to its opposite, as a pressure to get to the opposite of the shadow. And that's philosophy of opposite again, the positive. So it's a really nice application of it. So, hey, we can use the pressure of these shadow sides and we know they're there and they keep us sharp. They keep us alert. It's like, because we use the spirit warrior. It's a big part of ours. It's a really big course and workshop we do. And it's a big part of our philosophy. So as a spirit warrior, you always alert, you're paying attention. Why? Because a warrior knows that there's danger around. Where does the danger come from? From our shadows, right? But we thank our shadows, we like our shadows, and we leverage that fear of falling prey to the shadow to keep us alert, to keep us aware, to keep us alive, because we know we have real skin in the game. There's real actual things at stake here, and not just from a physical point of view, but our soul, our life, our spirit is in danger of being consumed by the shadow, right? Because if we fall prey to the shadows like self-importance and vanity and ego and all this nonsense, well, then your life's kind of over, right? You see people that are caught up in self-importance and vanity and ego. What lives do they really have? Not. They live hollow, unhappy, empty lives, right? That's something for me that I really do fear, right? That's a big fear. And not in a fear that I'm stressed and negative by it, because I relate to fear positively. I use it to leverage myself, to motivate myself, to spur me to more and more learning. And I like that. I like the fact that those enemies, as it were, like vanity and all my shadows, they keep me sharp. They keep me alive. They keep me moving forward. They keep me learning. They keep me growing, right? They keep me on my toes. And they keep me alive, don't they?
Yes. Oh yes.
Yeah, so we can use our shadows. Shadow's not a negative. It can be a negative if you get caught in it. But staying one step ahead of the shadow, that's the challenge. That's the game, right? Not to be caught up in the shadow, to live in the light. But it's always moving. It's like the shadows are there, and you've got to keep going and growing, right? So that they don't catch up with you again. So it's brilliant, man. You know, so using our shadows, it's a positive, right? It's not a
Yeah.
negative.
At the end, we are all things, you know, like
Exactly,
right?
exactly.
No
Because
deep
yes,
and shadow.
precisely. To have true independence of being, to truly be a sovereign being, don't we need the ability to be able to be appropriate in any circumstance?
Yes, we need to accept we have this all and to be like aware with what it is at that moment. Yeah.
Exactly. So
Not
if
resist it.
I'm truly free, right? That means I can be appropriate in any circumstance. So whatever the situation calls for, I can be exactly what that situation is calling for. Now, there might be a situation in which vanity is truly appropriate, right? All right,
Yes.
let's say I'm for whatever reason I'm in a beauty contest, right? Well, now vanity serves me. And I need to be able to be vain because that's what's required. That's what's appropriate in the context, right? So that ability to be appropriate and be able to have the freedom to be whatever, even sometimes to embrace the shadow, right? Because like anger could be very useful sometimes. Let's say somebody's attacking you, right? And I need to defend you. If I don't get angry or mad or riled up and energized, I don't have that energy to deal with the attacker, right? So angry helps me get there. So anger can be really, or even meanness or nastiness or even hatred could be useful in a situation like that, right? To get me that point where I need to be to deal with it. So anything, there's always a circumstance which in which that shadow can also be appropriate. So like you said, we are trying to learn to be absolutely everything, and it's about using all those sides appropriately and not to deny anything, but to use them and integrate them and have them be appropriate, and they serve their function. Like those shadows, they serve a function to motivate, to stimulate. And sometimes they have a use where actually to be your shadow is necessary. So we have to understand that. And that's where we really start to live in the fullness of ourselves, right?
I mean, it's like every shadow has its gift. It's what you mentioned, and this gift is
Why?
right in different situations. And when
Exactly.
people are working on their shadows, it's what they need to,
Why?
like the gift of every
Yes,
shadow, and
yes,
to
yes.
accept.
Capital G gifts, right?
Yes.
Capital G gifts, life gifts. That's what I call them. All these things, they truly, it's not just a gift to the little G. It's a gift to the big capital G, because it's more than just a usual gift. These are profound, sublime, magical gifts of life that when you look at them, there's more, and that's a capital M more. There's more to these things, always more. And when you note, see that there's this gift to them, wow, man, life just changes. Now everything has a gift inside it, right? Everything can be a gift, and it's just how we relate to it. And that's what you do for your clients, right? You
Yes.
help them to see the gifts in things, the gifts in what they didn't think were gifts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like the gift in their shadow, the gift in their stress of the relationship, the gift in the challenge, the gift in the struggle, the gift in the stress. No, it's all adventure. It's all wonderful. It's all in the perspective. So perspective shifting is what you provide for your clients, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Which is magic, isn't? Isn't perspective shifting like a magic wand?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. As kids, we always wanted a magic wand, and now we have it. And that magic wand is called perspective shifting, right? That's how we share with our clients. That's what we call it. But it's very powerful. It's very cool. That's
Yeah.
really important. But I'm thinking of your personal challenge and your personal path with connecting and communication and the vanity. Now, I don't see any vanity as being an issue for you. At all. It's not apparent in me, and you know I do somewhat trust my ability to read people. So vanity, not an issue. Personally, maybe in private, okay, a little bit possibly, but even then I can't see it much. However, the connecting, this I could see, and that there might be some challenges for you still. And in which way do you feel that there's a challenge for you in terms of connecting with people?
In which way?
I mean, I take it when you said connecting, you mean personally, not like connecting with clients. You have no problem
It's
connecting
not
with
that I
clients.
don't have challenge. It's what I want to have more of in my life.
Ah, okay, then I
Challenge.
must understand. Ah, more connections. I got you.
It's more
I
like
got
creating this deeper connection. It's what's important for me in life.
It is important, and it is a challenge in a sense, because I think that just the nature of the work that we do, it puts us into a different category where people don't feel like they are that it's okay for them to connect to us, right? They don't sort of feel like, not okay, but that it naturally invites connectivity, right? It's putting you in a different kind of a category, and they almost see that as well. If you're in that category and I'm not in that category, then we don't connect. But that's not necessarily true at all, right? We
Yeah,
can
it's
connect with anybody, whether you're a client or not, makes a difference. We like connecting with everybody.
But for me, it's like it's important this being vulnerable around people. So share yourself openly and honestly, and it's what connects people. Shall we maybe stop here?
Oh,
Because
sure. Yeah, time. Yeah. Oh, I could talk all day, but yeah, it's a good time
I
to stop.
know, but
Brilliant,
it's
brilliant,
very
brilliant.
amazing talking to you.
Why?
So
Let
it's
me
that
just
relationship
make.
here.
Yeah, I know. I just want to confirm one point, just to finish the podcast, that you are Anna Glambotskaya. I want to repeat your name so that people can know. And you're a transformational life coach, a transformational life coach, and you're the creator of Upgradable, right? All right, I just want to confirm that. So, Anna, what I would like you to do is send me links for that so that when I do make the podcast, I can put your links into the description so that if people want to connect to you, because it's important that they connect to you and you like connecting and you enjoy connecting, I want to know how exactly they can connect to you, all the different places. Yes?
Absolutely. Yes.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Absolutely.
Thank you very, very much, Anna. That was really awesome. I enjoyed that tremendously. That's awesome. So, yeah, we'll do it again sometime, right?
Yeah, it was a great pleasure talking to you.
Yes,
Thank you.
was most excellent. Thank you very much. All right, bye bye, Anna.
Bye.